But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." Well, this morning, I just want to read you a story. I just want to read you a story, and I want to ask you one question. Do you remember? Do you remember? It's a very simple question, but the implications of the answer of this question are profound. The story that we're going to read this morning is a story that proclaims truth, a truth that has lasted through generations, a truth that has lasted through thousands of years, a truth that has changed the course of history, a truth that proclaims that a homeless, poor preacher who walked on water, performed miracles, was exactly who he said he was, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so this morning I ask you this question. It's the same question that the angels asked to the women that morning. Do you remember? Remembering things is very important. Remembering things is very important, and if we forget things, it can cost us. Remembering things like stats from fantasy football, probably not really important. Remembering my wife's birthday and our wedding anniversary, very important, very costly if I forget those dates. I was in the doctor's office last week, and as I was sitting there, I looked across, and they've got all the charts, and there's this big sign in bold letters that says, "If you miss your appointment, you will be charged $120. If you don't remember to go to the doctor's when you say you're going to go to the doctor's, it costs you." Easter is about remembering. Easter is about remembering. How many of you have done the Easter egg hunt thing already this morning? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay. I'm sorry that you did it this morning because you have forfeited your bargaining chip for good behavior for the rest of the day. We hold it over our children's heads. Like really, between Christmas and Easter, these are the 2 days that you can demand and expect perfect behavior from your children. Otherwise, we don't give them the things that we promise we give them to celebrate the risen Savior, right? It's all very ironic and kind of twisted in that way. But how else is Dad supposed to get a nap in the afternoon after church? Easter is about remembering, and when I was a kid, my parents, in a moment of weakness, I'm not sure why, they allowed us to do our Easter egg hunt before we went to church. And so I thought I had this great devious plan. I took some of the chocolate Easter eggs, and I thought, boy, wouldn't this be great to snack on during the church service. And I was going to smuggle them to church with me. However, I put them in the worst possible spot, right in my pants pocket. And I tried to play it cool. I went to Sunday school and got into church, and I played it so cool that I did not remember I had brown, meltable candy lining the inside of my pants pockets until it was too late. I wish that I would have remembered, because it would have avoided a very awkward situation when I'm in the men's bathroom trying to lick candy out of my inside-out pockets when somebody walks in to find me in a state of great embarrassment. But Easter is about remembering. Let's go to verse 5, Luke 24, verse 5. "And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered up, or that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.' And they did what? What did the women do? And they did what? They remembered his words. They remembered the words of Jesus. And returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose, because he's Peter and very curious, and he rose and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So we read in Luke 23 that the women went with the body of Jesus and saw where he would be laid, and then they went and they prepared spices, and now they're coming back after the Sabbath, after a rest, and they come back and they're going to present these spices and oils to the body of their Lord. And instead, what they find is a couple of dudes in dazzling outfits proclaiming something about Jesus, something that if they had remembered would make total sense. But in their moment of shock, they were a bit perplexed. I love that word, perplexed at what they had encountered. See, instead of the body of Jesus lying there, it was empty. And the angels proclaimed something about Jesus that had not been yet proclaimed, because it wasn't yet time to proclaim this truth about Jesus, that Jesus is the risen King, that he conquered. He had done something that he had not yet done in his existence as God. He conquered death. And so the women, they go back and they proclaim this to the disciples, to the 11 who were left. And typical men, they didn't listen. I mean, it was Sunday, so they were probably watching golf or football, but they didn't listen to the women. Now, Peter, who was curious, he went and he took a look for himself, and he too was a little perplexed and went home marveling. Let's move on to verse 13. That very day, two followers of Jesus, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, which is very interesting. Verse 16 says this, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And there is a sermon in and of itself right here in this one verse, that while Jesus is in their presence, they don't recognize that he is with them. I'd love to dive into that, but we just don't have time because there's kids in the room and they're getting squirrely, so we're going to keep going. But I'm going to let you ponder that thought all afternoon. Why would Jesus conceal himself to his followers? Okay, but before we get to verse 17, really funny part coming up, okay? This is really funny. I just want you to put yourself on the road to Emmaus. We're in our sandals, our tunics, we're walking, and then Jesus, the inventor of humor, comes out with this one. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" As if he doesn't know. And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, okay, and here's the really funny part. "What things? What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." Jesus, fully knowing what they were talking about, conceals his identity and then kind of plays a little bit of a joke on them and says, "Ooh, tell me more about this Jesus fellow." And so they tell them about what they're talking about. And they reveal to him why they are so sad. And I think what they reveal here on the road to Emmaus is one of the reasons of why we often get so sad. let's read again verse 19. And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. So they acknowledged Jesus as a prophet. They acknowledged Jesus as a great preacher before all people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. So this great teacher, this great man, this great prophet was killed by the religious and the political leaders. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. They were sad, probably because a good preacher had died. They were sad, probably because a good man was murdered. But they were really sad because Jesus wasn't and Jesus didn't do what they thought he should do. What they wanted Jesus to do was to deliver them from political oppression. What they wanted Jesus to do was to get them out from underneath the hand of the Roman government. But instead, all Jesus did was preach to them and show them the love of God. All Jesus did was perform miracles. All Jesus did was to teach them how to live the best life possible. What a ripoff, eh? If that's all we get from Jesus. And I know we all want deliverance. I know that we struggle through things and they're very hard and we say, but Jesus, you just don't understand where I am. Jesus, you just don't understand what I'm going through. And Jesus says, yes, I do. I understand everything. I understand every emotion, every temptation, every moment of suffering, sadness, sorrow, and joy. I know it because I lived it. And so Jesus, standing there in the presence of his disciples, listens to them and tell their story. Verse 22. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us, and they were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he, and Jesus, said to them, "O foolish ones, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures concerning the things of himself. Jesus takes them to Sunday school. And Jesus says, hey, do you remember in the scriptures that before a prophet could get into glory, they had to suffer? Do you remember in the scriptures all that was said of the Messiah? All that was said about what he had to do, what he had to accomplish, the things in the law that he had to fulfill? Oh, slow of hearts, do you not remember? Do you not remember? Verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. And he acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." And so he went in to stay with them. He was at the table with them. And I want you to catch this. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed and broke it. And he gave it to them. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and then he served the bread. And watch what happens. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And they recognized him. Jesus had concealed his identity towards these followers for whatever reason we don't know. But when they see Jesus reenact, when they experience another moment of the Last Supper with Jesus, their understanding of who he is comes alive in their hearts and their eyes are open. And then Jesus, back to the comedy, does something really funny. And their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He vanished from their sight. Teleportation invented by Jesus of Nazareth. AD 33. Patent it. Perfector of teleportation. I just think that's wonderful. And they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us? That while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose that same hour and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Jesus appears to these men. Jesus makes his presence known to them after they break the bread. And that is so significant, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But I want to carry on in verse 36. As they were talking about these things, the 11 disciples, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you! But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. Okay, so when you were a kid, did you ever hide on your parents and try and scare the living daylights out of them? Yeah, my kids try and play that fun game where they jump out and surprise me. Unfortunately, well, I'll tell a story about my daughter, because she won't remember. Hi, honey. But my daughter likes to stand behind the curtains to try and surprise me, except I can see her cute little feet there under the curtains, so she jumps out, surprise, I pass out, it's a whole thing. But I remember doing that to my mother once. I hid underneath her bed, and she came in her room, and I grabbed her foot, and I scared her so bad she started to cry. And then I received a little punishment slash discipline from her that day. But being scared by your kids is one thing. Being surprised by your children is one thing. But can you imagine being startled by someone you thought was dead? And all of a sudden, they're standing in your midst, proclaiming peace to you. My heart rate would probably not be very peaceful if my friend who had just passed away is now standing, talking to me. And Jesus, I think, he teleports back. He's here. Great sense of humor. I just love the way this story plays out. Let's go verse 44. Verse 38. And he said to them, why are your hearts troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before him. Well, first of all, I think if I was dead for 3 days, fish wouldn't be my first meal back. I'd much rather go for a steak or something like that. But that's Jesus. That was his game. That's cool. But I love that he shows up to his followers as they're sitting together, as they are in the midst of mourning the loss of their friend. And Jesus shows up and says, do you guys have a snack? And he proclaims to them who he is. And it's so important that in the moments of life when we're sitting, in the moments of life where we're going for a walk, we're sitting and eating a meal, that we understand that Jesus is with us, that we understand that Jesus is alive, that we understand that Jesus is in our midst with us in the everyday, normal moments of our life. And so do we remember? Do we remember who Jesus was? Do we remember the promises that Jesus made? Do we remember that Jesus told his disciples exactly what was about to happen? I think the problem is that sometimes we forget because we're a little too distracted. I think we may live lives that are so busy that we don't take time to remember who Jesus is and the promises he made for our lives. Verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Jesus is saying, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember?" And this story in Luke 24, it offers us two ways. Because sometimes our vision gets a little bit blurry. Sometimes our ears get a little bit too full of other sounds, that we forget to see Jesus, that we can't hear the voice of our risen King. And so this story offers us two ways for us to remember. And the first is through Scripture. In verse 7, the angel says to the women who show up at the tomb, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember when he was in Galilee what he told you?" And the angels are referring to what Jesus shared with his followers in Luke 9:22. Jesus said this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised." Jesus reminds the two who are on the road to Emmaus of the stories in the Old Testament of what they could expect from the Messiah, from what they could wait for and anticipate the Messiah to have to go through. And then Jesus sits down with his 11 disciples and he reminds them what he taught them while he was alive about himself. He told them, "I had to fulfill everything that the prophet said to me, or said about me. I had to fulfill the law. Don't you remember?" And we forget who Jesus is. We forget about his presence in our lives. We forget about the promises that he makes about who he is and what he wants to do in and through us. But when we come back to the scriptures, we see that Jesus is indeed the Alpha and the Omega. He is the God who never changes. He always keeps his promises and does what he says he does. And the second way that we remember Jesus is through corporate worship, specifically in this story in Luke 24, through the celebration of the Last Supper. I want to invite the band to come forward. This morning, we're going to come to the table and remember Jesus through communion. And I know it's kind of odd to do communion on Easter Sunday because this is a day about celebration, about triumph, about joy, of bright pastel colors. This isn't a day about death. But all that goodness, all that excitement, all that joy comes because a perfect man died. We cannot have the celebration without the death. We cannot have new life. We cannot have victory without the defeat of sin. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate in a different kind of way. Instead of loud voices, we're going to calm our hearts. We're going to observe a moment of peace. And we're going to be still. And we're going to come to the table and we're going to take the bread. And we're going to remember that Jesus was whipped. We're going to remember that his beard was torn out. We're going to remember that he was spit upon. We're going to remember that he took nails from the people that he created. And we're going to remember that his body was raised. We're going to take the cup and we're going to remember the foreshadowing that the people of Israel received when they were in bondage in the book of Exodus. That God said, "I want you to put the blood of a perfect and spotless lamb on your doorway." And this is to symbolize the presence of God here, that the spilling of blood by a perfect and spotless lamb would protect you from death. We remember that Jesus is that perfect and spotless lamb. We remember with the cup that his blood is poured out for all of our sins and that it makes us pure. I want to invite the elders to come forward as we prepare to give out the elements. And so as we receive the elements this morning, we just ask that you would take the bread and that you would take the cup, that you would worship through song, that you would calm your hearts as we celebrate new life in Jesus, as we remember that the life that Jesus gives us is a life of constant repentance and forgiveness. And so if there are things in your life this morning that you need to repent of, what a great time, while the elements of communion are in your hands, to repent of those things. And if there are things that you need to be forgiven of, that you would ask for forgiveness for those things. But more so than that, if there are things between you and a brother or sister that you need to be forgiven for, would you seek forgiveness for those things? Forgiveness is not just between us and the Lord, it is between us and each other. So Lord, as we come to your table this morning, as we break bread, as we receive bread, God, as we pray over the bread and we hold it, Lord Jesus, help us to remember the high cost of our freedom. Lord Jesus, as we take the cup, I pray that we would remember it was your blood, not ours, spilled out for the forgiveness of our sins, that an innocent man died so guilty people could go free. We remember that this morning, Jesus.